This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? Hey, we are so glad you guys joined us this week, in the rain even. Listen, you guys know I don't like the rain. I've been very vocal about that. But we kind of needed some rain, right? So I'm okay with it. It just, you know, there's 7 days in the week. Why does it have to rain on Sunday? Because then everybody's got an excuse as to, well, you know, it was raining outside, so I couldn't get out in the car and go to church because it's raining. But you can do anything and everything else. But you guys are here. I'm preaching to the choir, so don't get me started. Hey, so thankful you guys are here. We consider this the best hour of our week. Before we go any further, can I just, like, clear the air? Jordan freaking McAllister. Wow. Listen, that dude's a dude. I don't even know what else to say. Right? I don't know. Listen, he hits notes that men should not be able to hit. Like, his range is so good. And that's not a knock. That's just like, wow. Anyway, I don't think I've ever seen you guys so excited about a worship song. So that's cool. And some of y'all were fangirling too. I know that also. It's like, oh, Jordan. And he is married and Kaylee will kill you. So everybody knows. All right. So we're continuing a series this week called Mountain Valley People. It's got kind of the plus in it, right? And I just didn't feel like articulating that part of it. So we just kind of ran it all together because that's how people communicate today. Anyway, have you seen people text lately? I told Shelly yesterday, I was like, you got to stop texting me. Like, it's just, she had to send me like an appendix to describe the text messages I was like, or you could have just done that in the first place, right? Like, she sent me all of these abbreviations for things, and I was like, listen, that's not me. Like, I don't know. Just tell me what you need to tell me. Oh, yeah, and it's not even like publicly accepted shortcuts, right? It's Shelly-approved shortcuts. So anyway, we're in a series called Mountain Valley People. We started a series, kind of the idea here is like, so you look in scripture, you look throughout the Bible, you find that mountains and valleys are used oftentimes as metaphors, as imagery, as analogies. And it's cool because there's so many like layers to this. In fact, the same thing will be used to describe two completely different things or experiences. For example, the first week we talked about how mountains are these mountaintop moments of like success and achievement and accomplishment. And then last week we talked about how a mountain can also be like this obstacle that seems insurmountable, something that you couldn't possibly overcome, like when you're staring at it and you see, you know, again, just the girth of it and the size of it, the height of it, all of it just seems so impossible. And so last week we talked about how you're supposed to talk to that thing. Like, nah, because y'all know what we do. Like, we like to talk about our thing, but we don't like to talk to our thing. And we have, can we just, for the record, moving forward, you have no right to talk about or complain about things that you have not prayed about. Right? You don't have any right as a follower of Jesus to be worried about, anxious about, complain about, or talk about things that you have not prayed about. Now, look, I'm just as guilty as any one of you, right? Because I just like to talk about things sometimes. Nobody else? Somebody. So we talked last week about how we're supposed to speak to our mountains. And also, that's kind of the part where we put our faith in God and believe that he'll do what he does. But there's also a responsibility on us for us to do our part. And we looked at the story of Caleb, who was 85 years old, and he said, give me this mountain. He said, let's go, in modern terms. Let's go. Right. So that's where we've been. This week, we're going to look at mountains from, this is probably one of my favorite kind of usage of these, again, these images, and to understand things that happen in our real lives. And so what we're going to call today is prepare the way, which is a very common phrase, especially you kind of go to the New Testament and you see the coming of Jesus, and you find that a lot of the things that had taken place up to this point were just to prepare the way. But ironically, interestingly enough, Jesus referred to following him as the way, right? So it is the way, so they prepare the way for the way, and a lot of way stuff going down, right? So this is what we're going to look at this week, is kind of this way, this journey that we're on. We're on a path, right? And I believe that followers of Jesus, like obviously your life is a journey, like you have a beginning and you have an end, and there is a path that you take to get from A to B. But I think we have to understand also that our lives as followers of Jesus, it's a lifelong journey, right? It's not like you start following him and you arrive at the destination 3 weeks later, 6 months later, 2 years later, 10 years later, 50 years later. Like, it never ends. The journey doesn't end until it ends, right? Until you're taking a dirt nap. Is that morbid enough? So this journey has ups and downs, right? It has hills and valleys. It has mountains and valleys. And so I think there's something, in our case, someone who just makes these ups and downs, these highs and lows, so much more tolerable, manageable, sufferable, right? I think, again, this is one of the things that is misconstrued sometimes. I think people say, oh, well, Christianity is just a crutch. It's a crux for weak people, right? Weak-minded people. And I'm like, you go forgive somebody and tell me how weak-minded that is, right? Because you're walking around in all your strength with all this unforgiveness. You real strong. Now go forgive somebody who wrongs you, and you have, like, from a human perspective, you have no obligation and you have certainly no desire to go and forgive them, but you go and do it anyway because that's what God wants us to do. He expects us to do. And you find that there is tremendous strength in that. Now, here, this is one of the benefits that we get to walk in and through all sorts of adversity, all sorts of difficult seasons, mountains and valleys. And it's just that we've got someone with us. We have a guide who is with us that makes it a little more manageable. It makes it a little more tolerable, sufferable, right? It's one of the great benefits of being a follower of Jesus. Not that we have it all together. We just got somebody with us who has it all together. You got that one friend that knows everything? It's like your phone a friend, right? It's the one person that if you had to call, you got that one friend that if you, for whatever reason, you fill in the blank in a scenario how you arrived at this particular situation, but you got picked up. And you're down at the station, and you had that one call. You got that one friend. That's the one friend. That's what Jesus is. He's that one friend that's got all the answers. He's that one friend that's going to answer the phone. Don't call your wife whenever you're in that situation, because they're not going to answer the phone. That may or may not be personal experience. It's a long story. It's a good one, but it's a long one. So we're going to read a passage from the book of Isaiah. And so if you're not familiar with the book of Isaiah, it's in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament has 39 books in the Old Testament. The New Testament has 27 books in the New Testament. So there are 66 books in the Bible, right? Everybody kind of familiar with that? Interestingly enough, the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters. The first 39 chapters generally are dealing, it's just, you look at the whole kind of the language and the tone and the narrative and the story, and it's a lot of oppression and suffering and challenges. And then in chapter 40, everything starts to change from chapter 40 on. It starts addressing Jesus, the Savior that is to come, and set things right. It's a really cool, it's kind of a microcosm. This one book is a microcosm of the entire book. So it's a pretty interesting thing. So Isaiah chapter 40 is where this starts. And this is what it says, verses 1-5. It says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. And listen, I don't know about you, but I can handle some of that sometimes, right? Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, because this context, that's who this was specifically for, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So again, we understand this kind of with the privilege of hindsight, that we are incapable of paying for our sins on our own, so it points to another who can do that for us. And then it says this, a voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. And you fast forward to the New Testament, we know that this is John the Baptist, because he said, I'm the one that's preparing the way for the Lord. And so in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so, again, knowing specifically this verse is referencing, it's talking about, it's prophesying the coming of Jesus. We know that Jesus is the one who takes those valleys and he raises them up. He brings those mountains and hills low so that they're more manageable, right? So that we can actually do what it is that we have to do. And so we understand that because of him, with him, we're capable of doing the things that we do. And you may be wondering, what have we here? You may not, but if you're not, what are you doing, right? So let's talk about, so we're on a journey, correct? Everybody agree, we're on a journey. So we know, so we have some highs, right? And we have some lows. Oh, I went too fast. Some lows. That's a little high, a big low. Is the narration too much? Highs, lows, highs, lows, highs. Oh, we're getting higher. Boom. How about that? Let me make sure we can all see. Can we all see? No? Yes? Maybe? My middle name is Picasso. I don't know if you knew that or not. Okay. So we have highs and lows, correct? Everyone, I mean, we would all agree that, like, hey, you know, here we are. We start. This is our journey. This is where we're trying to get to, right, to the end of the journey. Every journey has the highs, and every journey has the lows. So what I think, this is what I think. I think that with Jesus, it's not that you don't have the highs and lows. The highs and lows are still there, but what it does is just kind of makes things a little, you know what I mean? It just makes things a little more manageable. It makes it a little more tolerable. Like you're still climbing, you're still enduring, you're still struggling, but it just makes it so that it's doable. Do you understand? Is it doable? Is it more doable? I think one of the ways that we've kind of misrepresented Jesus is that, hey, it's going to make everything easy. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that following Jesus is going to make your life easy. But it is more manageable. It is more tolerable. It is more sufferable. And I think one of the ways that that happens, I think there are two aspects to this. Again, coming back to the title of Prepare the Way, I think sometimes God just kind of opens doors, closes doors, changes things, shifts things, so that it is a little bit easier, right? He prepares the way for us. And I think other times, God prepares us for the way, right? I think other times, he makes us a little stronger. He gives us a little more endurance. He gives us a little more resolve so that we are prepared for the way. So he prepares the way, whether he's preparing the way or preparing us for the way, right? So let's look at some of the ways of bringing this mountain low, or bringing these mountains low and bringing these valleys up. Let's see what it looks like and what it means to us, again, today as followers of Jesus. Next point, first point, second point, I'm not sure it's a point, is this. We're going to call it Dynamite Jesus. Because maybe females have like pyrotechnic tendencies too. I just know the dudes, we like to blow things up, right? We just, everything. If it can be burned, let's burn it. In fact, let's do some experiments on what can be burned and what cannot be burned. So we try. And we burn a lot of stuff, some that should not have been burned. So let's talk about Dynamite Jesus. So again, kind of talking about bringing the mountains and the hills low, making them lower. I think it has a couple of different ways that it plays out, a couple of different applications. The first and most obvious to me is that Jesus and the grace that he has made available to us makes the difficult task of overcoming difficult situations much more attainable, right? It's not that the hills aren't still there. It's not that the mountains aren't still there. It's just like things are now a little bit more doable. What was impossible becomes possible, kind of like, you know, again, God changing things, shifting things, opening doors, introducing you to people that you didn't know before that now makes what you want to do more possible. It's kind of like blowing up a mountain. Have you guys ever seen a video of a mountain getting blown up? Pretty fascinating. And so you go all the way back to like a lot of the Western expansion, you see they had to cross the Rockies. And so one of the things that they did was they used a lot of dynamite to blow up some of these mountains so that they can make railroad passes, and they even, you know, bored out tunnels and all of this crazy cool stuff. So I actually have a little video. It's a 27-second video from the 1930s, which is really cool, of them blowing up a mountain. Plus, it's got an awesome narrator and voiceover. Check this out.
6 months, workmen have been mining this point in the mountains, placing a charge of over 20 tons of dynamite in position. When all was ready, signals were given to warn spectators to get clear. No one was allowed within a mile of the scene, for when the electric contact was made, you see what happened. Nearly half the mountain side was blown into the air, releasing over 40,000 tons of the marble.
So 40,000 tons. First off, that dude's voice. Like, is it really like that, or you have to work for it to be like that? Releasing over 40, I don't know, I can't even do it. So it released over 40,000 tons of marble because of the dynamite that was placed. And I think God does that sometimes, right? God takes things in your life, situations in your life, circumstances that would seem very challenging to you, and I think he just takes dynamite to them and blows things wide open, that those things which would be impossible for you are not impossible any longer, because it says in the book of Luke that with God all things are possible. And I just think that God still does stuff like that. I think God does stuff for us that we're not even necessarily aware of, and things that he shifts and change and nukes and blows up with dynamite, right? Now, it's helpful to understand. It's just that it's not that the mountains aren't going to be there. It's just now that we don't have to be afraid of the mountains. We don't have to be concerned about the mountains because we've got the God of the mountains with us, right? We believe, again, we have a part to play. We've got a responsibility to contribute our effort. It's just the belief that God is going to move on our behalf and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It's like this leveling of the playing field, right? And he brings the mountains down. I'll give you an example of a situation that happens every single year that feels like a mountain to me that God does this with, and it's Kicks for Kids. Because every year, look, I don't know, unless you're balling out of control, I don't know how your budget's set up, you know, how your bank account's set up with checking and savings and all of that stuff, but adding an additional $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 expense to everything else that you already have going on every year is like, whew. Right? Now, I know you guys get to go home and you get to go to sleep and not have to worry about it. But when we say, hey, Motion Church is going to raise $15,000 to buy 250 pairs of shoes for students in our community, kids in our community, I'm the one that gets to go home and fret about it, right? I'm the one that gets $15,000. Like, I mean, you know, we got our lease. You know, the utilities have gone up 40%. It's insane. We know it at our house, but I don't know if you know this or not, but it happens at the church too. Right? And that's why you see me. I'm sometimes a jerk. Who left this air conditioner on? Right? And it's not because I want to be mean. It's because you ain't got no dadgum sense. Turn the thing off if you ain't. I'm a dad. I'm a pastor dad. Right? And now I got a dad the church, because some of y'all, turn off the lights if you ain't. Shut the door. Were you raised in a barn? Right? And so all of that, now that we're paying almost, you know, $1,500 a month in utilities, and it's like, oh yeah, by the way, no big deal. We need $15,000 for Kicks for Kids. No big deal, right? And every year, and I'm not kidding, like I'm not blowing this up and I'm not being hyperbolic. Every year it's like, whoo, because let me tell you guys, let me give you some insight onto church finances and church budget situations and issues. Whenever we have an extra item that we're asking people to give to, that goes up, right? So, oh yeah, we're getting all this money for Kicks for Kids. Tithe goes down. So our operating, you know, that from which we operate from is less, and we're also giving more. And so for me, as the pastor, I'm like, that's a mountain, right? That is a whole mountain. And you know, God just does these crazy things every year. And it's just amazing to be a part that we're able to raise all of these additional funds, and we still, again, for some people, that's not a lot of money. For other organizations, maybe that's not a lot of money. For us, it's a lot of money. It is a significant portion of money, and it feels like a mountain every year, but somehow, miraculously, we're able to do it. And just because we're dumb, we decided to set an even higher goal this year. Again, it's like, what do you want to believe? You want to believe the experts? You want to put your faith and your trust in those who say that you cannot? Or do you want to put your faith and your trust in God who says you can? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? So that's God preparing the way for us. But what about the situations as it relates to mountains where God prepares us for the way? I think sometimes God just, he gives us a little more endurance than we thought we had. Like, we can climb a little bit more than we thought we could. We can go a little bit further than we thought we could. We're just a little bit stronger than we thought we were. And I think it's just this grace that God gives us to endure. It's this grace that God gives us to live and experience the things that we have to experience, to go through the things that everyone has to go through, these hills and these valleys. And it's just a grace that God gives us to go through these things and not lose our minds, right? Because we're all going to go through it, some of us just lose our minds and we go, you know, go crazy and we're just overwhelmed by it, or we can go through it and allow God to prepare us for it, and we can go through it with our heads held high, our shoulders back, right, chest, head, and yeah, all of that good stuff. So that's kind of one of the applications of this metaphor, is like God prepares us for the mountain. He prepares the way for us by preparing us for the way. I think there's one other additional. This is kind of a third. This is a freebie. As it relates to the mountains and bringing them down, so you go back to the first week, we talked about how the mountains were these moments of success and accomplishment. I think one of the things that God is bringing down in those moments is ego. I've been coughing all week. Anybody else been coughing all week? Like, apparently everybody skipped church last week because you had a stomach bug. That's what somebody told me. It's like, nobody's here because we've all got stomach bugs. I'm like, why are you here? So anyway, I've been coughing all week, so I'm gonna make it through. We're going to be good. So I think that's the other application, is that so these mountain seasons, because y'all know how it is. Like when we are successful or we do something, the first thing we start to do is be like, look what I did. Y'all see what I did? Y'all see what I accomplished? And we do these crazy things like say, oh, I deserve that. Let me tell you what you really deserve, because you want to get out the balance sheet and see what you really deserve versus what you got. Because I don't think we really want to have those conversations. Like, what we deserve is judgment, but God gives us mercy, right? So let's not do this, I deserve it. Let's approach any success and any accomplishment with some humility, knowing that it is God who promotes, it is God who provides, it is God who empowers. And so all credit, all glory goes to him. Now, work hard, get yourself a pat on the back, get yourself an attaboy, attagirl every once in a while, but it is not about us. Ultimately, it's about us stewarding the gifts that God has given us. So let's be humble. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, it says this. Jesus said this to the disciples who were having these spats, right? Like, who was the greatest follower of Jesus? Again, kind of these counterintuitive thoughts, right? So he says this, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. In our age of social media specifically, there is all kinds of people exalting themselves, promoting themselves. Like, self-promotion is off the charts, right? Everybody is all about, look at me. How about we just kind of point the direction and tell everybody to look at God and stop looking at me so much? And it changes everything, because God will be the one that promotes. And that kind of promotion is the kind of promotion you want. The kind of promotion you think you're looking for generally just brings calamity, disaster, and turmoil into your life. But you do you, boo. So that was the first point, dynamite Jesus. Second point, actually the only other point, so because we've got mountains and then we've got valleys, right? The title for this next point, I don't know if it's going to make any sense to anybody else, but it makes sense to me, so we're rolling with it, right? That's very mature. It's called Clean Feel Wanted. Have you ever seen a sign? I remember seeing these signs when I was a kid, and I was so attracted to the signs because they had mounds of dirt beside the signs. And so for me, I was like, that looks like a great spot to play King of the Hill. Did anybody else play King of the Hill? I don't know how we didn't have like bones sticking out of our legs, because we would chunk each other off the top of a dirt hill, you know, 6, 8, 10 feet, and just do, right? Rolling down the mountain. And I mean, I probably have only had like 100 stitches in my life, so that's not bad, all things considered. Not bad, right? So the clean feel, the signs are, you see a lot of times signs on the side of the road and it says clean feel wanted. And what they're saying is, hey, if you've got any extra dirt, why don't you bring your dirt over here and drop your dirt off and help me fill up my low spot, right? So that, you know, again, you are helping me. It's excess to you. It's beneficial to me. Bring that clean feel over here. Now, the problem in real life is that people usually bring you junk. They don't bring you good stuff. That's why it says clean feel, not dirty feel. Because as it relates to dirt, people don't want to bring you the dirty dirt. They don't want to bring you the clean dirt. Figure that one out. So I think there's the obvious interpretation of this imagery of God taking low seasons and just kind of backfilling it, right? Bringing some dirt in so that it's more manageable, right? When everything is hard and you're going through a season, maybe you're going through a season of loss, you're going through a season of betrayal, you're going through a season of loneliness, because y'all know that's, I think we kind of are transitioning, or we're headed towards this pandemic of loneliness, because we're isolating ourselves more and more, and we can be in a, you know, have 1,000 digital friends and feel like we're completely alone on the face of the earth. All right, so anyway, that didn't resonate as well as I thought it would. I thought the church would be like, preach, preach, but you didn't. So So I think we've got all of these things in our lives that could be lows, they could be valleys. And I think what Jesus does is he fills them in. He brings some clean fill, not the dirty fill. He brings some clean fill in, and he just makes it so that it's a little more tolerable, sufferable, manageable. And thank God for that. Do you know what I think about valleys? I kind of had this thought as it relates to valleys. I think God, we only see what we see. We don't see what is unseen. As it relates to our valleys, like, we only know what it is that we're going through. We don't even realize so often what God has shielded us from, what God has protected us from, that we don't even know about, right? So the low that we're experiencing, it may have already been backfilled, and it's actually way higher than it would have been had God not, in his grace, already filled that valley in some. Because if you got down here, it's unmanageable, it's untenable, it's intolerable, right? You cannot do it, you can't bear it on your own. So he brings it up because he knows what we're made of. And it's interesting, you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, he formed us out of the dust, right? The dirt. That's what we're made. He knows what we're made out of. And so he fills it up so that we can tolerate and suffer through the things that we got to go through. Because you're going to go through it. You have to go through it. It's part of the journey. Like, every person goes through it. Can I just be honest with you guys? And maybe I'm being insensitive. I mean, I've never done that before in my life, but maybe this one particular time, I'm being insensitive. I'm just kind of over, God, we have gotten, all right, let me think about this for a minute. Like, who all am I going to offend? What are the ramifications? I'm so sick of soft people. Like, just like overly soft, like sensitive, like snowflakes, delicate little flowers that if they experience just like the dandelions and they just blow away. Like, everybody's got, like, and this is the problem here, is that because everybody has it, then it doesn't do justice to those who actually have it, and it makes it harder for them to get the help that they're actually going through. Everybody's depressed. Everybody's on anti-anxiety, this or that. Everybody has PTSD, and I'm just like, hold on, dog. Like, trauma is part of life. Struggle is part of life. And the problem is, we told everybody from the beginning that, hey, everything's going to be easy and you're not going to have any problems. And if you do, well, then we'll just medicate the crap out of you so that you don't have to realize that you're going through these problems. All right. Anybody offended? I hope not. I mean, frankly, it's on you if you are, because you're soft. I'm just kidding. Y'all know what I'm saying? And maybe I didn't say that as eloquently as I should say it, because, look, people struggle. People are going through a lot. There are things that people need to get help with. But the problem is, when everybody acts like everything that they're going through is the worst thing in the world, then we're kind of missing the point, and we can't help people who actually really need help. So I think God protects us from so many things. We only see what we see, but we fail to realize what we're protected from that is never seen. And I think we should thank God for that. I believe that God is always working to make a way for us. He's always working to make, again, prepare the way, to take something that he knows that we cannot go through and make it something that we can go through. We complain so often about the valleys, but the truth is, he's already brought those suckers up so that he knows that we can make it through, and so we should stop complaining. We should just go through. If we spend as much time going through as we do complaining, we'll get through a lot faster. I was trying to explain, and now, listen, Titus, my youngest son, he is about as black and white, no nonsense, what you said is, and he will regurgitate, repeat to you what you said and hold you accountable to what it is that you said. Just his very linear thinking, analytical, like, you know, just everything has to be ducks in a row. So I was trying to explain to him the Exodus story and Moses leading the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt into the promised land. And I was like, you know, it's actually not very far from Egypt to the promised land. Probably if they would have actually gone from the point that they were at to the point that they were supposed to, it probably would have taken about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and it took them 40 years. And he looked at me like I am the dumbest person on the face. He was just like, Titus has got this look. He's like, that's, and if you don't, like, his default look when he's like disgusted with something or you is, so he kind of looked at me like that, and we did just that understanding of like, hey, you should have been here because God knows what you need to get where you're going, but if you keep messing around and you keep making things about things that ain't things, then you're going to have those kinds of problems, right? God takes these valleys, and he fills them so that they're bearable. I ran into a guy yesterday because all great conversations happen at the gym. For me, They're great. Awkward as everything sometimes. So yesterday, across the gym, a guy that I hadn't seen in a couple years that I've known for several years, across the gym, he yells, 1 year, 8 months, 10 days. Okay. Right, good. Good to see you too. It's like when you put a hit on me, like what? I don't know. And so I'll start walking towards him so we can get some clarification. 1 year, 8 months, 10 days. 1 year, 8 months, 10 days. That's how long I've been clean. And I was like, yeah. And not just like, not just clean, not just like cute clean, like clean, clean. Like this dude was on like the hard stuff, like bad stuff, like gone. In fact, he said when he got to the lowest point in his life, this is how God works, dude. I'm telling you, like, and again, we don't understand it. There are so many things that I don't think we'll ever fully understand. He said that he had decided that night he was sick of living. He was just, you know, he couldn't figure out a way to get out of the situation that he was in. So he tried to overdose on Xanax. And then he was like, he grabbed a gun, he put it in his mouth, and he fell asleep. Because he took so much Xanax that he just passed out. He woke up the next morning, he realized, I can't even kill myself right. And he was like, somebody take me to church. Because he grew up in our youth ministry, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So, somebody take me to church. He's like, somebody take me to church. So his ex-wife, of all people, takes him to church. And he said, you know, just from that point forward, and this is very, one of those very animated people, you know, those animated people that sometimes tend to be hyperbolic. He was very animated, and he was like, 1 year, 8 months, in 10 days, he said it again, and he said it again. And he was just so proud. And here's what's so cool, I think, about this. I think so much about that story, right? God bringing those valleys up. You thought that you thought you were at the bottom. You thought there wasn't a way out, and God makes a way out. He makes you fall asleep sometimes so you can't even kill yourself. I don't know if that's good theology, but you can't convince me anything otherwise that that's exactly what happened in that situation. And then God does things like this. In your valley, he puts people on your path, on the way that you're on to make that valley more manageable. Somebody who picks you up, somebody who you used to have beef with, who you've had a kind of an ending of the relationship with, God can use them to make your way more possible. And then he'll put other people in your path who've been there and done that, and they've got the t-shirt, and they're not afraid to walk with somebody, and they've walked with him for 1 year, 10 months, 8 months, 10 days, whatever it was. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to these valleys, man, I just think that God does so much for us, and he prepares us for so much more than we think that we can handle, right? There's so much more in you than you think is in you, and it's not because of you. It's because of the grace of God that is at work in you. He gives power to the powerless. He gives strength to those of us who recognize and realize our weakness, right? He is the lifter of our heads. He's our comforter. He's our sustainer. He's our shield. He's our guide. And then he does this crazy little thing. And this one is probably the most fascinating of all to me. Like, and it's almost clinically insane. Like, it really is. God will give you just this ridiculous, unbelievable, overwhelming peace in the middle of just the craziest, most chaotic, turbulent storms. And you just look like you're senile. Right? The world around you is in chaos. It's in disorder. It's in dysfunction. And you're kind of good, right? Because you know that this world isn't your home. I remember one time, I figured this out pretty early on. I was 21, 22 years old, and we had some property that caught on fire. And at the time, it was connected to my way of producing income for our family. And so I'm in another cemetery report. Somebody calls me and says, hey, your property's burning to the ground. I mean, what am I supposed to, let me get my jetpack and drive over there with my water hose and put out the fire. So for, you know, I have an hour to figure out how I'm going to respond to this chaos. And it was just the weirdest thing, man. Like you get there and you see what you've worked really hard for burning all the way to the ground because of somebody else's ignorance. But that's another story. We don't have to go there. I had peace until that moment, right? So everything that you work for burning to the ground, and just unbelievably insane, a peace that passes all understanding. So I get out of the truck, and Shelly, everybody's like, they're running up to you, and they're expecting you to be like, just like this very Hollywood dramatic, and everybody wants you to feel feel sympathetic towards you, and they want you to have these breakdowns and be like, you know, everybody wants to have a boohoo fest. And I was like, it's okay. Like, God is good. God has a plan. Does this suck? Absolutely. Like, this really sucks. But God is good, and God has a plan, and we're going to get through. This is a valley. But you know what? Nobody was in that building when it caught on fire. So there you go, raising that valley up. And God didn't harm me so that I could still produce income. So there you go, raising that valley up. And so the valley that I went through was a valley that I could manage because God raises those valleys up. And that's just how he works. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, 6 and 7, it says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Can I have some Kleenex, please? I thought you were gonna throw the box. It's okay. Thank you. For nothing. So, let's try this again. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. Again, you don't have the right, I don't have the right to be anxious about things that we have not prayed about and brought to God. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what I want to do, watch this. Y'all are so sarcastic. I can't even. I'm going to give us just a little bit of application to go with before we leave. All right. Picasso. Okay. So I think one of the ways that we get to the place where we can kind of walk in this, where we get to experience the grace that God gives us to live, is to allow more of that grace into our lives, right? So I don't think it's a fixed amount. I think it's an amount. So let's do this. Let's call this line us, and I'll do you. So everybody, because you know what we do with words and pronouns is like us, and we assume that means everyone else. But if we say you, then it means you specifically. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. And this line, we're going to say this line is God, right? Everybody tracking? So in order to get to the place where we have more of God's grace in our life, I think we have a limited capacity, right? You have a cup that is ultimately, I think it's a cup that's called to be overflowing, but it's not overflowing with yourself. It's a cup that's overflowing with the grace of God. So what I think what we have to do is we kind of just got to get less of us. Right? Less of us, less of our way of thinking, less of our arrogance, less of our pride, and that was pretty confusing. Everybody, I need Bob Ross to come help me with this. Okay, so less of you. So pretty. And more of God. If we want to have, again, this ability to go through life, understanding that God prepares the way in terms of our circumstances, but God also prepares the way in terms of what it is that he's doing in our lives. It says this in John chapter 3, verse 30. It says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, fascinating enough, this actually comes from John the Baptist, who was the one that it talks about in Isaiah chapter 40, who said that he was the one that was preparing the way in the wilderness, declaring that the Lord, basically saying, hey, Jesus is coming, you better get ready. And so John the Baptist is the one that said that he was coming. He was part of preparing the way for Jesus, and then he realizes that he must increase, but I must decrease. And if you want to live your life, if you want to live a life of meaning and significance, I think the longer, what's so cool about this is like the older you get, the more people you meet that have done some pretty cool things. People who've done a lot of really important and powerful things generally think much less of themselves and much more about other people. And I think one of the greatest ways that we can model that as followers of Jesus is just think less about ourselves and more about Jesus. Allow him to do in us, again, what we cannot do for ourselves. Ask him when we're going through these mountains or valley seasons to give us the grace, not just grace to like squeak through it, but grace to live through it. Like a grace that we can still like tolerate people even when we're suffering. A grace that we can still love and forgive even when everything around us is difficult and challenging and hard. And so in order for us to do that, we have to decrease and he has to increase. That means less of what I want, less of what I prefer, less of what I think my life should be like, less of my motives, my ambitions, my pursuits and my desires, and more of what does God want for me? What does God want from me? What is the plan that he has for my life? And how can I, starting now, bring and implement more of that into my life so that he can increase and I can decrease? And I think that is how we get through these things. That's how we complete this journey. That's how we, again, walk in the way that he has prepared for us. So prepare the way. Amen. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much. God, that you have given us an example of what this looks like to go through life, God, to not have an easy life necessarily, but to have a life that is rooted and has a firm foundation, has this belief that God is good, that God is working, that God is active, that God loves, that God corrects, that God is everywhere, everything, at all times. And so we know that when you went through your adversity and your trials, God, you did it with this grace. And we're just asking for the same, God, that when we go through our hills, our mountains, and our valleys, God, that you would help us to do so with grace, with compassion, with kindness, God, with resolve, with endurance, that we wouldn't grow weary while doing good. God, that it says that those who wait upon you, God, that you'll renew their strength. And so, God, we're just asking for that. As we allow our lives to be less about us and more about you, that we would decrease and that you would increase. Prepare the way, God. God, I pray for every person in the room this morning, God, who's going through some stuff. Whatever that stuff is, God, that you would prepare the way. God, that you would work on their behalf to create possibilities out of what was once impossible. But also, God, that you would prepare the way in their hearts, their lives, their faith, God, that they would trust you, they would believe in you, God, that they would work as if it depends on them and pray as if it depends on you. Jesus, we love you and we're so thankful for you. And it's in your incredible name we pray, and everybody say, amen.